Okay, so today we are going to set up a Raspberry Pi to run RaspMC, the XBMC version for Raspberry Pi. And I'm here with my friend Matt, and he and I are going to go through what we got in the box. Well, actually, he's going to tell us what we got in the box. So what we got in the box?
We have the Raspberry Pi Model B. Still in the box, ready to go.
Awesome.
Wi-Fi adapter.
Cool.
A little tiny. We do have a clear case, something to store the little Raspberry Pi in.
This is an Adafruit box?
I cannot remember now.
Oh, it's pretty cool. It's got like a little flip top. It's clear case. And it's got the etched Raspberry logo. That's really cool. I like that.
Yeah, they had a few on there, and it looks like it's because they were actually a flat package, and it had tape on front and back.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, it looks like it's a little laser cutter.
Yeah, laser cut.
Like that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty neat idea for a little company to get in something like that.
Yeah.
Of course, we need a HDMI cable.
Got it.
A little USB cable to plug it up to the TV or the wall. Here's a little adapter for it.
Oh, for the power. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I see.
Power. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. All right.
And then we do have our little 4-port USB hub to hook up something extra. Not sure whatever else I might put into it.
Extra hard drives or whatever?
Yeah. Next, I know I'll start out with the one hard drive that I already have full of DVD ISOs and ready to play through the XBMC.
Cool.
And we have our little Bluetooth keyboard.
Yeah, this Bluetooth keyboard is pretty cool. I mean, it's like a little hacker board with a touchpad and everything. And
yeah, I think that
controls.
Was the iPassport. There's a few on there. There's like the Re version, iPassport, and then a couple of other ones. And this one had like a few hundred reviews, and it was still like 4 out of 5 stars. So, and I liked that it was Bluetooth. It would be easier to.
Yeah, so it's got like are these forward and back? I wonder if those will be able to control the.
I'm hoping.
That would be really cool.
One, just like one little reviewer said, works with Raspberry Pi, and that's not the most info I can see. But yeah, so hopefully it will.
Very good.
All right. Then we have a couple of SD cards.
Oh, yep, the SD cards. We'll figure out which one. We'll use the. Oh yeah, the SanDisk is usually really good about working well with the Pi.
Cool.
In other words, I don't know what the deal is with it exactly. I haven't really read into it.
Uh-huh.
Some SD cards don't work for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But whatever.
That works good.
So, cool.
And we have some aluminum heat sinks.
Aluminum heat sinks.
Not sure how hot this thing gets running off of USB, but if anything, it kind of looks cool on the board.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. All right, well, this sounds exciting. And I brought along an extra monitor to plug up to get started with, and a USB keyboard and a USB mouse. And I have a VGA to HDMI converter, and it works pretty well. I mean, of course, it's not real great quality, but it gets the job done for what we're going to do to get it up and running to the point where we can plug it up to the TV. All right, let's start putting this puppy together.
Awesome. Time to crack open the box.
All right, so I guess we'll crack open the Pi box and break out the Pi.
Nice. In our little static bag in here. Yeah, it's just amazing how tiny this thing is.
There's a really good article, I haven't read it all, in a Linux Format magazine on the guy that makes the boards.
Yeah.
Took over the project to make the boards.
It is really interesting. I know it's garnered a lot of attention to UK. Amazingly, yeah, it's pretty cool. Go ahead and put our heat sinks in if you want it first, I guess. These little heat sinks already have some adhesive built onto the back of it, so you just have to kind of pull the tape off and just place them on the chip. There's 3 in here, but I think we're only going to use 2. I'm not sure what the third one would go on. I'm just going to have to rip this bag.
They're just like little tiny heat sinks like on a computer.
That's really
fun. I don't think I've ever seen these before.
Yeah, I was just flipping through the pages, looking at all the accessories for the Pi, and happened to see a few of these advertised. I guess obviously the big one's going to go on that chip, and I'd say that one's going to go on here, but this third one?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We can always just pop online real quick and see if they were putting it on top of that one.
Yep.
But, yeah.
Yep.
Let's see, which way is the pie going to face?
It will be going in this way.
Oh, yes. And, you know, I put that little case together the other night.
Oh, it snaps together. Okay.
Yeah, and you can take it apart. You can see how, like, the sides, I think you push them. Yeah, push them down. You can take it apart.
All right.
We might have to pop one side off to get, actually, the ports through there. And it was one of those things where I was sitting around. I was like, I got to do something with the pie. Well, let me put the case together.
Let me put the case together.
I'm trying to get this tape off the back of this heatsink.
There it goes.
I want to make sure I get it on there. First time properly.
I did an interview for HPR a while back with a guy that does a lot of program. Well, he does some programming with the Raspberry Pi.
Oh, nice.
And he just, I mean, that was, he said, you know, this was the greatest thing for Linux that has, you know, that moving this toward the same, just the general being able to just program anything for the machine. And it, he's, well, like he said, if you screw it up, it's $35 and
yes,
you can buy another one. It's not like you don't have to trash everything. You can actually just reuse the SD card and everything. So.
Oh, that's true. And you know, a lot of this stuff I actually had sitting around. I mean, I already had the HDMI cables. I had the little, you know, the USB cables, the SD cards. So I really only had to buy the Pi and the case.
All right. That looks really cool.
I'm getting on straight now. There. Okay. That one's on straight.
All right. Like I said, I think we're probably going to have to pop one of the sides off of this box to slide it in there. So
awesome.
Oh, I see the back just kind of popped off.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the top is just held in. It's just got little pins.
Oh.
Cool. So actually, I'll hold this together if you want to slide the little board in. So,
there we go.
Cool. All right. There.
Yeah, cool.
Oh, that pops in. Let's get this little pad in. Looks like we're all centered up, so I'm going to put the top back on first. A little bit of experience. I put it together the other night with the top off.
Yep.
Take it back apart.
Yeah. It's just like doing this whole media center thing. Since I've done it once, I know what I did to screw up, and then hopefully don't make those same mistakes. So. All right. Pi has been inserted. That looks really cool.
It's amazing that's a computer.
Yep. Amazing. Amazing. All right, so
what, 10 times bigger.
Yeah, exactly.
Half as small.
So we're gonna hook up the USB keyboard and mouse and monitor and start installing. All right, so what we're gonna do is we get the SD card plugged in, and we also have I downloaded earlier Noobs. So. All we have to do is just copy Noobs onto the SD card and boot. We'll install Raspbian C. Alrighty. So now we got Noobs copied over to the SD card. And we got the USB keyboard and mouse plugged up. Got the monitor plugged up. Got the SD card plugged in. I guess we're ready for some power.
Alright. Let's plug in our power. There we are. And I see some LEDs.
Beautiful thing.
Yes, it is. Yes,
there's
it is.
The first screen.
Sweet.
Nice little rainbow colors. So Noobs, I don't know if you know, Noobs is, it has all of the OSs, I think, that will run on the Raspberry Pi. So it's got Raspbian, which is Debian for Raspberry Pi. It's got Arch. It's got OpenELEC. It's got Fedora.
OpenELEC,
it's got,
I've heard a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then it's got... Raspbian C, RISC OS, Raspbian with the boot to scratch. This is like a kid's way of learning to program, so you kind of have these building blocks.
Oh.
So that's something you might, if you ever get another one, you might want to look at that for your sons, because it's kind of like, you know, you can drag and drop.
He is, stuff. Yeah, he's genius already. Yep. I mean, he's, yeah.
Yep, it's good.
Crazy.
So we'll just check the little checkbox for Raspbian C.
RESC.
Yep. And then there's a big button at the top that says install.
Ah, yes.
So
this is installing it to the Pi?
It'll actually, I don't know exactly, it'll overwrite the SD card, so it kind of puts everything in memory, and then it writes it to the SD card, so everything that we copied onto the SD card will be gone.
Okay. I was actually wondering already if I would have to check that each time I restarted.
Nope.
Awesome.
And we can change your language down here, because right now your keyboard's going to be, say, Great Britain. So we want to make sure we change that to U.S. since we are American.
Cool.
And then the little progress bar is just cranking along. And
that is beautiful.
So right now we just had to sit and wait. And in honor of Klaatu, we will be back with a copy break.
Sounds good.
All right. So it's about 75% done. But after this, we just start doing some more configurations and stuff. We got to do a few things. So Matt's got, how big a hard drive is it?
A terabyte.
Oh, okay. Yep. So we got a terabyte of ISOs. We're going to hook that up to it, obviously. So we got to be able to get into it. So Matt runs Windows. So we're going to probably set up, we get a program called WinSCP, which is secure copy.
Okay.
It's kind of like we're going to FTP, but you're just going to pull up a program and just kind of drag and drop stuff to it. So
cool.
You can back up your movies here, and then you can see your Raspberry Pi that's actually in your TV room and just kind of drag and drop it.
Nice. So okay.
That's good. How I do mine.
Yeah.
So I'll just kind of.
Yeah, kinda, I was wondering if I need to unhook the hard drive and bring it here.
No. You can, yeah. I guess. I mean, it would certainly copy faster.
Yeah.
Because when I copy movies or stuff over to mine, then it, sometimes it could take like an hour or so.
Yeah.
So usually I just do it at night to say, copy.
See, it does a movie right now in about 10, 15 minutes.
Okay.
Well, so I can actually just have it feed it right to the phone at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's what I
do. So.
Which actually I'd only have room for, I think, 10 more movies on
yep.
it before that drive's full. And then it's time for another drive.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's going to be the main main thing I'm going to use my Pi for, is the media center part.
Yep.
That's going to
have
all my DVDs backed up and eventually Blu-rays. We'll have to see how I handle Blu-rays.
Yeah, sure. I'll be interested.
Yeah.
So one thing we need to do, after we get this thing set up and actually boot into it the first time, we need to get the serial number off of it, because we got to send that serial number to raspberrypi.org, because we got to buy a license to actually run the ISOs. It'll run them, but they're real choppy and out of sync. And
I heard the menus is the biggest issue getting the ISOs to work.
Yep. Now I have a few ISOs, and the one the ISOs that I have are like workout DVDs, so there's pretty much just like play. So there's not really a whole lot to it. So, all right. So now OS has been installed successfully. So
Click OK.
Yep. Click OK, and it's going to reboot into the first instance of our Raspberry Pi.
Residency. It's kind of exciting building a little computer like this.
And it's really amazing that this thing is just so small and can do so many things. You know what's really cool is you can actually get you another SD card, load up noobs on it or whatever, run Raspbian on it, and set it up as like a web server or something like that.
Oh yeah, or even just have it set up with the browser, have a computer at the TV. And
you can do that. There's actually, there's a Instructables or whatever section. I saw one on there that they actually set one up, and he taped the Raspberry Pi to the back of the monitor and had a USB keyboard or Bluetooth keyboard and mouse.
Yep.
And you never saw any of the stuff.
Oh,
so
nice.
It was really cool looking.
Yeah, because that's even one of the main advantages of this one. Because before, you know, you've built a PC or, you know, home theater PC, and then you have the noise content.
Yeah.
And then the power consumption, and, you know, we're trying to be as green as we can, and wow, this thing runs off USB. I mean, how much greener can we get?
And, you know, you can also, I mean, if you wanted to, you can always just power this down, plug up the other SD card with the other OS, boot back up, and you got something totally different. So it's not like you have to do a whole lot. I mean, the SD card, you can have 10 of those things laying around to play around with if you want.
I actually thought of that. About. And I do have an old Super NES.
Oh.
Yeah, so maybe we'll have to do another podcast one time with gutting the NES.
Gutting the NES.
Yeah. Putting the pine inside of it and use it as the case.
Oh, that would be fun.
Uh-huh.
That would be fun.
I saw one guy did it online. He had a few pictures, so, you know, it was his first time building something. But yeah, he even went and you got adapters to solder to the board so that he could use his Nintendo controllers and the whole shebang with it. But okay, we've got
our first menu screen. So looks good.
Wow, look, it's January 1st, 1970. That's awesome.
Yeah, we need to do some time adjusting and stuff. All right. So, first thing we need to do probably is, we gotta go through the language choices and all that good stuff. So what we have to do now is we're going to reboot, and we have to go into a command line to get the serial number. All right, well, not sure why, but for some reason it just keeps booting right into the GUI when we're in, right in the middle of the command line. So let's see if we can SSH into it. So I got my laptop, and I got Portable Putty.
Oh, lovely, nice.
Portable application. We're going to try to SSH into it, so it's like a secure shell. So we're going to see the command line over here, but we're going to be accessing everything.
Okay.
So.
Looks like it's going through a little bit of updates right now.
It is going. That might be part of the weirdness that it's doing.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can SSH into it anyway and just see what happens. So default port 22. So the first time it pops up, it's going to ask you for the key. It's like secure key so that everybody knows who we are.
Okay.
Login as Pi. Default password. Yep. And there we are. So, very good. So now we're into it. So now we can get the serial key that we need to send off to RaspberryPi.org.
To get our little codec.
Get our codec. Yep, yes. Exactly. We'll say cat / proc / CPU info. Down here at the bottom, we got this serial number.
Oh, yes, okay.
We can actually just copy that. And now, what we'll have to do is just hop online, pay the man, and in a few minutes, hopefully, after we get all this updated and all that good stuff, hopefully we'll have the key, and we enter those keys into a file on the Raspberry Pi.
Okay.
We went to RaspberryPi.com and bought the MPEG-2 license key, as well as the VC1 license key. Those are all paid for. So we are still SSH'd into the Pi. So next, what I would probably do is, and this kind of be up to you, change the default password to actually get into it.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds good. Sure.
So while we're here, we can just run the command is pass, P-A-S-S-W-D, for password. And it's going to ask you to put in the current password, which is just Raspberry. All right.
And now...
Enter. All right, now we type in the new one, wherever you want it to be. So now we're all updated. Next thing, since SSH is already installed on it, you can actually, by default, the port is 22,
mm-hmm.
and people like to really bang at that port to see if they can get into it.
Interesting.
So, what we really need to do is change what port it runs on.
That sounds good.
Yeah, so we're on a CD into etc. / x init d dot d, and we see a file there that says SSH. So if we do vim dot tiny SSH. Vim is kind of like a Linux command line text editor.
Okay.
It's more than a text editor, but it's a way to see stuff.
Nice.
So now we can see what the ports are set to. So right here, we need to change this. And me being an idiot, forgot to do sudo vim.tiny ssh. Actually, let's change. The first one we need to change is sudo vim.tiny / etc / services, and we scroll down through here until we find these are all the services, and these are the ports that they run on. So right here we have SSH, and it's defaulted to 22.
Oh yes.
So we're going to change that to a secret. We're not going to tell the podcast either, because we're cool like that. So we say clear that. Do WQ for write and quit. Now we go back over to etc / init xinitd-d-ssh. And we have to tell it that the server args-i, whatever this means, I'll be honest with you, I have the slightest idea. We change it to dash p, and then the same port that we just used over on the other side. So now when we SSH into it, see our PuTTY connection just ended. So now we can close out PuTTY. Now when we PuTTY, or when we PuTTY into it, when we SSH into it, we can use the same IP address that we used before, but over on the port, we need to change it to what we just entered in for our new port. And this just kind of is like a little security thing.
Oh yeah.
Like I said, you get this little people to kind of script kiddies and stuff to just kind of pound away at it and see if they find something that's open, and then they find a vulnerability, and
we don't want that.
Nah, you don't want all that. So best just to secure it up as best as possible anyway. So there is a way on Raspbian MC. Mm-hmm. There's a few videos you can actually find on there about it to have the operating system partly on a SD card as well as a USB stick, like a USB 3, so it's supposed to boot faster and all this stuff. But it uses the SD card as a bootloader to say start from the USB key.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Are the USBs built in 2.0? Are they?
I think they're 3.0.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it should be pretty fast.
Okay.
So
that is better. That's better than I thought.
All right, so let's boot back up. So let's see if we can SSH back into it. And we probably got a new key. And we do. We say yes. Log in as Pi. And then we'll put your password in that you used a few minutes ago. All right.
Awesome.
So everything's back and working. So we can still get into it and all that good stuff. Let's do a couple of things. First, we want to update the system to the latest because it runs Debian on the backside, mm-hmm. and then XBMC is kind of laid on top of it, I guess is the way. I think this is the way that it works. So since it's still running Debian, then we want to do a sudo apt-get update.
Actually, a command I remember. That's amazing.
Back in the Ubuntu days.
Yeah, that's a few years ago.
Yep. See, it's actually pounding away at the Wheezy release.
Oh, yeah.
So once it finishes downloading the packages for the updates and find out what's new and what's different, we'll tell it to update, reboot once again.
Cool.
And then we need to install the nightly build. So it's a little what do you say? It's kind of cutting edge, I guess, but it gives us more of the ability better to play the ISO files and stuff like that.
Good.
So after we do this update, we'll install the nightly build, and then we also need to install a library called DVD-CSS. It's a library to decode the DVDs.
Nice.
So.
Nice.
We got all kinds of commands to do, so we all do all that from the command line as well. So while this thing is chunking away, downloading the tons of updates, it looks like, we'll pause and be right back. All right, so after that long endeavor of downloading updates, and installing, rebooting, updated Raspbian, and now let's do this. We need to install a few things to get libdvd-css installed. And I'll make these in the show notes for the listeners so they can actually see these commands and stuff. But first we're going to install bzip2. So we're going to install bzip, and that's, I mean, it's a zip file. So, I mean, it will let you extract, and the commands down the way are going to use that to extract the installation file and all that stuff. The other piece that we're going to do now is apt-get install GCC and make. And GCC is the GNU C compiler, and it like takes the raw source files, compiles them, and then make actually makes the installation file so it's installed onto the system.
Okay.
These are all the kind of things like in Windows, it's just kind of like when you click the exe setup file, the setup.exe, all this stuff is already kind of
automatic.
But this is more kind of more like what you would find with like distributions like Slackware and stuff like that.
Okay.
And they, you know, you would you don't have to, but you can still use do the make install, all that stuff where you download the tar file and all that stuff. Debian, you know, you don't really need that anymore because they have the repositories.
Huh. Okay.
So libdbdcss is not in any of the repositories, and so we download the latest one, and then we actually configure it and everything. So.
Okay. So you're going to make it work.
So we're gonna, yeah. So right now we're going to install the bzip and the gcc and the make. We're going to install those from the Debian repos repositories.
Okay.
So they're already all nice and configured for Debian. We just pull them down off their sites, and it installs them, so all that's done. So this next one is a long wget, and we're going to actually wget this. and wget is just, I don't know what the W stands for, I guess, I'm not really, to be honest with you, I'm not really 100%. It grabs the file from online.
Okay.
So it like pulls it down. It's kind of like a
web search.
Yeah. So we're here. So we're going to make a directory for installs, and we're going to move that file over to it. So let's cd into it. All right. So there's our tar file. So we got bzip installed. We got gcc and make installed. We downloaded the latest libdbdcss libraries. So now we're going to tar. And tar is, it used to stand for, it still stands, I guess, for tape archive. Yeah. So it's just a way to like zip something up, you might think of.
Okay.
So it turns into a tar bzip file.
Okay.
So that's what this is. So we're going to say tar x vjf, and that just extract it. Verbose, and it's, you know, lots of commands.
But okay.
So we don't really have to worry about all that. We just type lib xvjf and then the name of the file, and it extracts everything for us.
Nice.
So there it all is. So now we cd into this folder.
Okay.
Not the tar file, we cd into the other folder. Configure. And then it goes through and checks for all the stuff that's really needed. Make sure the C compiler's there.
Okay.
Make sure that it has everything there, so it kind of configures the files the way that it needs to.
Right.
So it kind of asks the systems, like, where do you have this and where do you have that? And so it knows that it has the GCC over here and all that stuff. And so it kind of makes this make file.
Excellent. Whatever works.
Yeah, whatever. I told you this was going to get a little nerdy for a little while, so. So it's going to slash on through its stuff here. So as long as we don't have any errors or anything, we should be just fine. Which, this is the same one that I just did, so
okay.
it does work.
Yeah.
So go with what you know.
That's true. And that's working.
Yeah.
It's working.
This is the fun part. This reminds me, when I first started using Linux, I ran Slackware.
Yeah.
I was like, well, actually not my first, but my first distribution that I ran a lot.
Right.
I stayed with it for a while. And you know, if you wanted to install something, you had to do this.
Man.
And you found the tar file and you downloaded it and then ran these commands and then come up and it'll say, you know, you're missing this and you have to go find it. And all that. So it was weird, but it was fun.
So what now, experience.
Yeah. Now we got the make file configured, so now we say make ampersand make dash or make space install. Fire that away.
Now it's entering the directory.
Now it takes a while. Not a while, but it takes a little bit.
Oh yeah.
So it pops into the directory and it starts copying all the files over to where it needs them to be and all that stuff.
Amazing little box.
Yep, that it is. So while this thing is compiling, have you seen the I just popped online. I must be way behind because I just saw that Amazon came out with a like a box that has all these things like Netflix and Hulu Plus and Amazon Prime.
They're working on it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they said they're in stock. They're $100.
Really?
But it really didn't seem like it really had anything. It has some games.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they're trying to enter that market. Everyone is really trying to get into that market. You know, the Chromecast actually helped kind of push the smaller boxes. Have you seen Roku? They have a little stick now.
Yep.
Yeah, this basically like the Chrome stick. And I did read somewhere last week that Amazon really wanted to get a box out before Apple TV or Apple released their next version of the Apple TV. And of course, that's always hearsay because there's always someone saying that Apple's getting ready to release something that's going to be fantastic. But they are saying the next Apple TV is going to be really focused on the apps, whereas we know none of the previous Apple TVs have any apps, basically, that are any fun.
Yeah. So you actually, we were talking earlier about how you would buy the Blu-ray and they would give you the copy.
Yeah, if you got your enhanced edition or whatever kind of box set that they offer, it usually has the Blu-ray, a 3-day copy or a 3D copy, and then your digital copy. And for the longest time, they were all SD digital copies, which look horrible, of course, on the HD. And just recently, they've just started including HD copies. So that does make it nicer to get the Blu-ray and not have my son scratch it up before we have a chance to really enjoy the Blu-ray if we have the HD copy.
Yeah.
But I really want to back up my Blu-rays as I have done my DVDs and play those through the Raspberry Pi.
Yeah.
I haven't really looked too much at playing the Blu-ray ISOs because I've heard that they're a different type of ISO than the DVDs. And actually, I've not even been able to play the Blu-ray ISOs on my desktop, and that's trying VLC, which everyone knows VLC plays just about everything. So I've only seen a few options online, and of course they're always for programs they want you to pay for, and I don't want to pay for a program just to watch something on my computer. So we'll see how the Pi does with Blu-ray ISOs. And I'm sure there's probably a few people wondering why are we just doing ISOs, but I'd like to have an exact copy of that DVD or that Blu-ray.
So is that the way the ISO, instead of it being a compressed down?
Yeah, not a compressed format. It's just pretty much the raw image from the DVD or Blu-ray itself.
Gotcha.
So even like your typical DVD, which you think is 4.7 gigabytes, a lot of movies are double layer. So the ISO still ends up being 7.5 gigabytes or so. So those movies do add up to a lot of space, but space is cheap now.
Yeah, so we got the libDVD. Now we're going to download the latest version of XBMC. So it's the latest nightly build. So it's going to drop it down and do some upgrades. And once we do that, we'll be able to hook up the external hard drive.
Nice.
And actually see some stuff happening.
Nice.
And hopefully we'll have our key by then.
Yeah.
We haven't got our key yet. Notification of payment. They didn't have a problem taking your money.
No. I guess it's simple. We'll have to reboot and hook up our hub so that we can hook up the external DVD or external drive,
Yeah. Yeah, at this point, we could probably just unhook the keyboard and mouse because we're doing everything from the command line over here anyway.
Okay,
so,
gotcha. Okay, looks like we just got our keys.
Ooh, goody.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're almost there. Okay, well, we got a confirmation that we got the license key, but it wasn't. It was just... you'll be getting it soon.
Yeah.
I forgot that they did that. They'll send you one that says that you got your payment has been accepted, and then they say, okay, we'll be sending you your key shortly, and then you gotta wait on your key. So in the meantime, we're gonna try to get the Bluetooth keyboard working. So first thing, apparently this is something I have not done, so this is gonna be a good trial here. So I'll put link in the show notes to this article on getting it set up and running. So it looks like first we gotta set up, we gotta enable dbus. So update-rc.d-f dbus defaults.
Let's see if we get a little light popped up on it.
All right, so updated dbus. Now apparently need to reboot this sucker, so reboot once again.
Good deal.
And then after this we get to install the Bluetooth utility stuff.
Okay,
so now let's install Bluetooth, the Blues Utils, and Blue Man. 94 megs of dependencies that come down with this sucker.
That's funny.
Yep. So, let that pull it down.
Kind of have to agree if we want it to work.
Yeah, unfortunately. So, and there was another article that that I had read before about this, and it said at this point, this is where they started having some problems for whatever reason. It said always dies at this step, but so far, we're at 25%, 26, so...
That's good.
Yep, so...
Let's do another little update check.
It'll probably do that every time that it boots up. It'll probably do that check.
Okay.
But I haven't rebooted mine for a while.
Okay.
So, it just hangs there and...
Yeah, so little energy consumption. I do need to check the USB on my TV and see if it works when the TV's off. Or if it always stays on. It's about 80-something. How easy is it to cut it on and off? It's not like there's an on-off switch on it.
Nope.
Just power, that's it?
Unfortunately, it doesn't like it when you do that. It'll come out and say, you didn't shut down the Raspberry Pi correctly.
Yeah,
oh well. But there's a power button right there.
So. Okay. Cool. Actually, while that's doing that, let me check the TV and see if that USB stays on all the time.
All right.
Actually, let me get to
that. All righty. Now we have Bluetooth stuff going on. We ran a LS USB, and we did find it. So, according to this, we have to make note of the address. So, it's kind of like a MAC address, I guess. So, we got that. So, let's run this HCI tool scan and see if it will actually find.
It's now a solid light. Ooh, yeah, we got
Yeah.
Is it scanning for this?
Be honest with you, I'm not really 100% sure. Because the directions say to pair the device.
Okay. I might want to do that command again.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, turning one. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep. Yeah, well, it does have a little Bluetooth.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. So we're going to pair the keyboard with the dongle.
That's what it's actually...
hoping.
Yeah.
So we're going to run that tool again. So the keyboard's flashing, and the dongle's flashing. And the Pi still says scanning.
It's trying, but
yeah,
cutting off.
Let's actually reboot the Pi real quick and see if maybe after we installed all those updates, we just need to. Oh, it found it. Cool. So there, it came up with the MAC address, it looks like, of the keyboard, which is the iPads report. So we just needed to reboot, I guess. So, all right. So I guess we need to pair the keyboard and the dongle. Enter pin code. Okay.
Or is it saying this and the pin code?
Do we know? I don't know if that pin code, you know, like on the when you do the remote controls, if it is. Yeah. Do we know what the pin code would be for that Bluetooth? Is there.
It's supposed to pop up and tell you what to input.
Oh, really?
Yeah. At least that's how it's done so far.
Oh, yep. I'm sorry. We do it on the.
On this?
Yeah, that's what it looks like. So, enter pin code.
What is it? 003?
That's what they use. Okay. So that was an internet days that was, or internet time that was nothing, but to us it was about 20 minutes of frustration. So we got the dongle put on and it started blinking, that, you know, installed all the packages and all this stuff, but we couldn't get it to pair for some reason. So I'm going to link to this article in the show notes, but one thing, whenever, this is stupid, I should have realized this, but whenever we do the blues-simple-agent to pair the dongle with the keyboard itself, run it as root, and then enter a key, any key, you can put whatever you want, hit enter on the keyboard for the SSH, and then immediately on the keyboard for the Bluetooth keyboard, enter the same key that we just entered before and hit enter and it'll say release and everything's good. So now we see if we can actually get it working.
It is still not synced. It's still blinking. It's
still blinking.
Yeah. Maybe we have to do a reboot.
Okay.
Maybe.
So. Oh, there it goes. It's so, working. Hey, it's working. Hey, that's pretty darn cool. That only took like an hour.
Hey, I got
Bluetooth. So, but now we got the Bluetooth keyboard working. So I think we got everything. Now we just need to install the license key.
That's right.
So while we were waiting on that, we did get some good news. And that was the license key actually came through.
Yay.
So since we're SSH'd into the Raspberry Pi, we're going to CD over to /boot. And inside that, there's a file that says config.txt. So we're going to do our typical backup of it. So we're going to do sudo copy config.txt and then config.txt.bak. Just in case we screw something up. So let's do a sudo vim.tiny config.txt. The vim.tiny was big when I found that because I'm used to using Vim.
Yeah.
And I was like, why can't I use Vim? And I was like, ah, man, I got to install Vim. Everybody's saying use Nano. And I didn't like it, but they were like, oh, just use vim.tiny. It's already there. So
cool.
I was like, all right, whatever. Now we go into this config.txt file. And down at the bottom, we are going to enter the keys for decoding MPG2s. Almost screwed that up. I was on the wrong one. So we do a decode underscore MPG2 equals, and then our key, and then a decode BWVC1 equals. Write that sucker. And let's reboot. Now we can go in when it actually boots up. We can actually, there's a section in the Raspberry Pi that we can see the license, and it should say that it's all there and everything. But you will know real quick whenever you try to play the ISO file and that doesn't work. So
let's go ahead and plug in our hub while we that way we can. I actually think our external drive turned on.
Yep.
Let's see.
Do you need anything? What else do you want to plug up to the besides the dongle? When I plugged up my external hard drive through the hub, it might have been the crappy hub that I was using.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't.
It didn't like it.
No, it wouldn't even boot.
Oh really?
No.
Funny. We don't really have to do the Wi-Fi.
We might be able to put the dongle and the Wi-Fi through the hub, though.
Okay.
But I would actually plug up the external hard drive, plug that up to... directly to it, yep. So, okay. So, we rebooted, and unfortunately the keyboard, the Bluetooth keyboard, loses its connection. And you got to run through the, turning on the Bluetooth part on the keyboard, and running the command from SSH, the blues-test-input-connect, and then the MAC address of the keyboard, and then the keyboard start working again. We'll have to figure that one out to see what it is that's going on with that. So we should be able to see our files now.
Oh, I guess I should switch our drive on. Yeah, power.
Power, who knows? Oh, there it is. So now we've found our drive, got a folder for movies, and inside that we got a bunch of ISO files. And I'll show you some stuff that we can do with this to make it a little bit more seamless, but it will take a while to run through the scan, so let's just fire one up just to see what it does.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. It tells you if it's SD or HD.
Yep. So what we did is we just kind of fired at the ISO file straight from the external hard drive, and we don't have any sound. I don't have any speakers. That was stupid. I was like, we don't have any sound because we don't have speakers.
Yeah.
But now we don't have to use the keyboard. There is an Android app, and I think you can get it for iPhone as well. It's called XBMC Remote, and it actually does really well. So you actually can just set it up. It kind of SSHs into the Pi, but there's a little Bluetooth keyboard still working. There it goes. We got the full menu. Looks good.
Yeah.
So we're actually looking at this on a crappy monitor. Now I guess the only thing we need to do is just go in and plug it up to the TV and start watching some movies. So there's some like plugins that you can do and stuff like that pulls down the art and stuff like that. And you can set up to where it looks at that one directory and you tell it that that's movies. And then within the screen of RAS-BMC, you get a movies just like you would with the, or it says videos and pictures and stuff like that. You get one that says movies, and it gives you nice little thumbnails, and it has recently viewed and stuff like that. And there's some really nice plugins that you can get.
Yep.
Some of them work, some of them don't. If they don't work, then I mean, it's free, so I don't know enough about the programming side of it to fix it. So, but they have a really nice PBS plugin that you can, it pretty much just stream stuff off their website.
Right.
It's free, but they have, you know, hour-long documentaries like Frontline and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So there we are. Everything's all set up. We got the license file. We got... everything's installed, ready to fly. So we got our little tiny Pi ready to hook up to the network with the keyboard. We're good to go. What do you think? It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, so far so good. Looks really nice.
It would be nice if this Pi had a way to... Oh, we do. Not the Pi, but the keyboard. Had like an actual stop button on it and stuff like that.
No, that's just...
It didn't have a stop button.
It's got a forward back and...
You know. They work the Bluetooth keyboard actually is a really good idea, because there'll be times when you want to like search for something or something of the nature, and you know, with some of the plugins you can get, you want to search for certain titles or something like that, and you can't. So
I have to laugh at Curtis while he was sitting here talking a minute ago. After he talked about the app, I quickly went to the App Store and downloaded the app. So now I'm controlling the Raspberry Pi with the app. So you can see how quickly that worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is very responsive.
And I tell you, that looks a bit different than the Android version. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah. And hey, it works. That's cool.
It does. I actually do all of it with the phone instead of the remote, because my TV remote control will work with it and stuff. So I'm not really sure. Really haven't took the time to figure out how it's connecting to it, but it works.
Cool.
So there we go. So the only thing we need to do now is see how, like, Matt just went back to the main screen and we have weather and pictures and video and music, and there's add-ons for each one of those as well.
Oh, yeah.
And so you actually just hit the get more, and it kind of works just like Debian or anything like that, where you just hit the get more and it lists all the plugins that are associated with pictures or whatnot. And it'll link them up to Flickr, and then you got your, you can put your Flickr account within there, and that kind of thing, so you can pull stuff down. There's one there for Picasa, I think.
Oh yeah.
So I got a lot of pictures on Picasa, and some on Flickr. I used to use Flickr a lot more than I do now, but
yeah, that was me too. I actually just started recently using it a bit more because they offer a terabyte of online storage for free.
Yeah.
It's still the thing of uploading it there, but, you know.
Just do it while you're sleeping.
Yeah, that's it.
So once we actually go in and configure the Raspberry Pi to say, and you know, this folder here is movies, you'll get a menu selection over on the other side where it says movies, and it will have thumbnails of the movies you can pull down. Fan art for each one of the movies. It'll tell you where you stopped in the movie and you know, pick up from here or whatever. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm liking it. It's been kind of nice to get some of these add-ons enabled and some artwork up. And
first time you run the update for the artwork and you know, the movies, it updates itself.
Sweet.
It goes for a while, and yours is going to go for a long while with, 700 gigs of stuff on here? So.
Yeah.
All right.
Quite a few.
I guess that does it for us. We're going to take this puppy in here and hook it up to the big screen, and we're going to watch some movies. We appreciate y'all listening this far. It's an hour into it, so hopefully you stuck around, and fortunately for you, it was an hour. For us, it was about 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours. Yeah. But, hey, nothing like a nice little afternoon project to have some fun. So,
yeah.
All right. We appreciate y'all listening. Y'all take care, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.